This morning, we continue our series, which I've entitled Praying the Names of God, looking deeply into the Old Testament Hebrew for the character of our God revealed through the experiences of those who met him, and finding in these magnificent Hebrew words insight for our lives. Our text for the morning tells a story of intrigue, tells a story of, well, sex, tells a story of wanting to please God, but instead of waiting on God, outrunning God. Then in the aftermath of the disaster of trying to outrun God, then to try to run away from the circumstances. I wonder, is there anybody present today whose life has become so challenging, so heartbreaking, mistakes made? Perhaps they were your own mistakes, perhaps mistakes others made that have affected you, that you just want to run away, that you are in the process of running away. To any runaway person here today, there is good news in the name of God revealed in Genesis chapter 16. This is the famous story of Abram, who later becomes Abraham, and his wife Sarai, who later becomes Sarah, an elderly couple in numerical years, to whom God makes a promise, you will have a son even late in your life, and that son will be your heir, and that son will make it possible to claim the promised land. Sarah, in her old age, she's about 75, laughs in the face of God. Sarah, 75. Abram, her husband, 85, wanting desperately for this promise to come to pass. But Sarai was impatient with God. You ever been there? You want to believe God? You want to trust God? You're a believer? You've come to taste and see how good God is, but because of your human impatience, sometimes you've taken matters into your own hands, and instead of waiting on God, you've wanted to micromanage God, create circumstances for God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 16 that Sarai came to realize that the Lord had closed her womb, that it was not going to be possible for her to have a child, or so she thought. And not wanting this promise to go unfulfilled, she came up with an idea. An idea worthy of a Jerry Springer show. She said, I'm going to choose my best-looking servant girl, and I'm going to invite her to share some time, shall we put it, with my husband Abram, so that this promise of an heir can come true. The name of the servant girl is Hagar. In Hebrew, that name means immigrant, foreigner, sojourner. She was, we think, an Egyptian slave given by Pharaoh to Abram sometime past. We think that later in life she started a blue jean company, but we're not entirely sure about that. The story is told in Genesis chapter 16 that Sarai hatches this idea and shares it with Hagar. Now, believe it or not, this was not an unusual circumstance in the days in which the Old Testament was written. So Sarai went to her husband Abram, and the Bible seems to indicate that when Sarai told this plan to Abram, Abram simply said, okay. And it happened. Now, this account can be told from many different perspectives. The perspective of Abram, who should have said, no, we're going to wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled. I'm not going to micromanage God. It can be told from the perspective of Sarai wanting to outrun God, trying to do something good, but that good having unintentional consequences. The story can also be told from the perspective of Hagar, this wife number two, the original runaway bride who, under the scrutiny of wife number one, was abused and ran away from the household to escape. It's in the midst of running away, in the midst of feeling abused and disappointed, the experience of grief, the experience of knowing that you're going to have a child and not knowing what the future is going to hold, it's in this moment that Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, meets God. And God reveals his character as El Roi, the God who sees me. This story is told in Genesis chapter 16 and then continued in Genesis chapter 21. But I want us to focus in on the dialogue between the angel of the Lord and this runaway bride named Hagar. And these verses are found in your Bible in Genesis chapter 16, beginning in verse 11. Moses, the writer of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, records these words. The angel of the Lord also said to Hagar, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery." That word in Hebrew, Ishmael, means God hears. "He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahi Roi. It's still there between Kadesh and Bered. I have now seen the one who sees me. Last week, we began this series by focusing on the first name title for God found in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, Elohim, which means powerful, mighty creator. The one who spoke and bang, it happened. The one whose character is revealed as creating and continuing to create. In the ark of God, all the way through the Bible, ending even with the Lord Jesus ascended on high in the book of Revelation, says, "Behold, I make all things new." Another translation of the grammar can be rendered, "Behold, I am making all things new." God's character to create and recreate. Interesting that this second name, this second title that we find for God, puts flesh on God creating and recreating in the midst of a mess. I'm so pleased to see that when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to this runaway bride, he did not begin with a word of condemnation. Aren't you glad in Christ that God does not begin his conversation with us as a word of condemnation? Aren't you glad? We have plenty of other people who find it to be their spiritual gift to begin their conversation with us with a pointed finger, or, "I can't believe you did something so dumb," or, "What is wrong with you?" But rather, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Hagar and says, "God hears your cry." I'm encouraged today because I see runaway people every day. Good folks, smart folks, educated folks, successful folks, spiritual folks, for whom life's circumstances are so challenging that the only escape is to run away. Now, if you were Hagar, you would want to run away too. When wife number one, Sarai, gets unhappy and makes your life difficult, somewhere in the Bible I read, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And the household of Abram was very, very unhappy because Sarai, who thought she had a good idea, then became insanely jealous of this young servant girl who did become pregnant and made her life horrible. In the midst of this runaway bride, God says, the Spirit of the Lord says, the angel of the Lord says, God has seen you in the midst of your adversity, and he has heard your cry. Therefore, the boy to be born is to be named Ishmael, because God has heard you. And the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, went on to say, and I will bless Ishmael and make of him a great nation. Now, that becomes really relevant to us today, because that great nation that Ishmael founded is the nation of the Arab people that we now call Muslims. It's the religion of Islam. In the midst of this conversation with the angel of the Lord, something transforming takes place in Hagar's life. And she cries out with a word of hope and calls God El Roi, the God who sees me in the midst of my challenge. But Hebrew scholars indicate that that word is a reflexive word. It works both ways. Not only is it the God who sees me, but, and this is exciting, the God who enables me to see. A plan, a possibility, even in the midst of the problem. Now, the challenge that is issued to Hagar is to go back to the household of Abram and Sarai. Now, I don't know about you, but wouldn't that be kind of hard to do? Go back to that woman? Go back to the way she treats me? And Abram lets her treat me that way? It's amazing what happens in a life when we know that God has heard us and seen us and God is with us. And his supernatural strength enables us to endure whatever we're up against. Nowhere in the Word of God is life promised to be easy. But everywhere in the Word of God is the promise that when God is with us, we can do anything. In the Ark of God, I love what was inspired to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:10. Maybe these words will encourage you. No temptation has overcome you except that which is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. But it's interesting that the text doesn't end there. He will provide for you a way out. Why? So that you can, what? Endure it. Find the supernatural strength to be an overcomer. There are times in our lives when we experience trouble. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we bring on that trouble, and sometimes we get caught up in the circumstances of others and find trouble, like Hagar got caught up in the circumstances of Sarai's decision-making. But like Hagar, we can learn and find as a gift of hope that when we realize that God sees us and cares for us and we are under his watchful eye, we can have the courage to persevere and become overcomers. Running away never helps any of us. In fact, it works against us by stunting our spiritual growth, by stunting our spiritual development. You may feel like running away. You may feel like leaving your marriage. You may feel like leaving your church because of difficulties that you are experiencing. But in the early chapters of the Word of God, your Heavenly Father, through the angel, speaks a word of hope. I have heard your cry in adversity, and I see you. And if you will allow me, I will help you see. Running away, which is the natural tendency, will not help us solve our problems. But running with God will help us solve them, will help us become victorious. Why? Because he's the God who sees us. And he's the promise, he's the God that helps us to see. In her helpful book, Praying the Names of God, Anne Spangler writes, if you are feeling weak in the face of life's challenges, the best way to grow strong is to strengthen your commitment to Christ. Decide to obey fully. Hagar did. and went back to the household of Abram and Sarai. Obey fully and follow completely. Keep your eyes focused on him. Let Elroy E. take pleasure as he washes over you, and you will find your heart growing stronger and your confidence deeper. What's the circumstance in your life right now that's causing you to want to run? Here's the good news. God sees you where you are. He hears your cry. And I believe through faith that if you will ask Elroy E., who does see you, to open your eyes in this experience, to see his work, to increase your faith, and to give you the possibility of believing that God is up to something good, even under impossible circumstances. I hope this prayer will encourage you as it encourages me. Elroy E., the God who sees me, I praise you, for you know the whole story. From beginning to end, you see it all. Give me the humility to admit my limitations, for I don't always see the past accurately. My vision of the present is blurred, and I'm blind when it comes to the future. Help me fasten my eyes on you, trusting in your vision for my life and your watchful care. Throughout the Bible, we are promised that the heart of our God is to encourage, to recreate, to lift us up. A favorite verse of mine from all of God's Word is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range, look to and fro throughout the earth, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Wherever you feel like running today, God hears you and God sees you. He's Elroy E. I'd like to invite you to stop running. I'd like to invite you to stop right where you are. I'd like to invite you to say, thank you, Elroy E., that you see me. And as an act of faith, ask him to help you see his way forward for you. And trust the work, the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to make it possible. Thank you, God, that you hear me. Thank you, God, that you see me. And thank you, God, now that you will enable me to see your mighty hand at work. Amen.